So you're on a pirate ship, and all of a sudden they say, hey, it's a mutiny. There is, there's the captain. There's everything else going on. But all of a sudden, you know, there's another team down there. They're plotting. They're planning. They're deciding what they're going to do. And all of a sudden, they just, by violence, take over the ship. That's a mutiny, or like a miniature regime change, right? What about in cities? What about in nations? You can't have a regime change unless there's, a group. There's got to be someone that knows the current system, and they want to bring it down, and they want to replace it. Now, it's not just about bringing it down. It's always about replacing it, changing it. That's what it's all about. So when we talk about revisiting dark infiltration, this issue of the infiltration, not just of the church, but also of government, law enforcement, military, of a lot of the systems that make up, well, society as we know it today, in the United States, in England, in Germany, let me tell you right now, in all of Europe, there is really a plotted regime change. Now, you can, again, look at the history of the pirates. You can look at the history of nations, the polises, the cities in Greece. You can look at Rome, Greece. You know, look at the changes when it came to war and military and, well, nation changing, regime changing. I was listening the other day to a talk show host on the radio, actually last night. Now, this guy was declaring there's going to be no new world order. You can't get everybody together. You know, he mentioned this is like getting the Arabs to sit down with the Americans and everybody's going to be friendly. And he was going on and on about there's no way there will be a one world order down in the future. People just don't get along. Let me say that his grand mistake is not understanding that this will all be done by a supranatural presence and power. That this is far beyond the physical. As a matter of fact, as we talk about it this week, revisiting dark, the infiltration for the goal of ultimate regime change. This is, as we have it on the website, the plotted, planned infiltration and subversion of military, law enforcement, government, the church. Back in the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, a secret power of lawlessness already at work. It is now Monday night, August the 8th. We're 2011, and this is Russ Dizdar, Shatters live broadcast here on this Monday night. We're glad to be with you, and we're going to take it, just one night each, as we look back into what we've discussed. We put it out in the book, The Black Awakening. We have put out 2 1-hour training sessions on this, and I think it's the 2 that's been downloaded almost across the board the most. Thousands upon thousands of downloads of those 2 little trainings that we have done when it specifically is in reference to the infiltration of the church. Now, we've done another one, the infiltration of military, U.S. military. And I want to say that I believe that satanic black Trojan horse was received throughout Europe. The Brits, the Russians, Canadians, across the board, you know, obviously the United States, all taking it in, you know, at the end of the war in the early 40s, mid-40s, and then into the 50s. Now, the issue is, when we look backwards now and see that the spiritually oriented Nazi regime, the Black Flame, as they went all over the world, you know, they went to Argentina, they went to Paraguay, they went to the colony of Dignidad, they went to the rat lines through the Catholic religious system. They went all around the world. They went global. They had a global agenda. They had a global mind. They had a conquest in their hearts. I mean, burned into their hearts and lives. Not just a political, military ideology, but it is clearly one that came from spiritual presence. So tonight, as we talk about dark infiltration, with all the other things that are going on, all the other things that are in the news, Well, behind the scenes, beyond the physical, there is a presence operative, as Jesus gave the simple parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, he comes to do his mission. He comes, and that's what he's coming here for tonight, to reach out to you, the living Christ, to save, to heal, to deliver. That's the good news in the midst. God knows you personally. God loves you personally. So in the context of all this news, Monday night we're going to deal with the long dark plot, the foundations of and the reasons for infiltrating placement sleepers with the goal for global conquest, regime change, and that it is a totally suprahuman, supernatural endeavor. Wicked and without mercy. Tuesday night, the chaos, the anarchy plotted. And, you know, we're going to look at the chosen ones again and see the nuts and bolts in the sense of the coming beast system the Bible speaks about. Then Wednesday night, we're going to talk about chosen ones that are in the military, law enforcement, government, so forth. The mode of operation, do you suspect that there are those placed there where you are, and that they will ultimately bring a horrific sabotage and destruction? Thursday night, we're going to go over the programming specifically in personalities doing reconnaissance, sexual corruption, dark spiritual warfare, and more. We're going to deal with Psy Warriors again. And the reason for all of this, please understand that on the surface, all the news, all the things, all the rumblings that we hear, but the nuts and bolts of the coming great rebellion, they call it the Black Awakening. This tearing down for one purpose, a new regime to take place. A regime as described in Scripture beyond any governmental system in human history. Now that's what's coming. And we want to talk about that this week as we talk about in the nuts and bolts of that. Friday night, we're going to talk about observing the mode of operation. And we're going to talk about detecting things now, looking at things right now and seeing what's going on all around us. But there's a lot of things right now that are, I mean, just utterly astounding that are in the news right now. You know, U.S. has been downgraded to double A. We're a double A. You know, the triple A and the double A batteries. Well, we're the little one now. We're the little one. No, we're the next size up. That's right. Double A, which is, and of course, everybody's blaming everybody, right? Everybody's just simply blaming everybody, and who's at fault? Now, I heard this funny phrase today. It came out from Rush Limbaugh, and not that I get to listen to that individual at all very much, but I couldn't help the one phrase that he's a walking debt man. Obama, the walking debt man. Now, I want to say again, when it comes to politicians and leaders, when you do things like abortion, killing children and babies, when you make it a national policy and use the collective, you know, taxes to fund the killing of children, you put yourself against God. When you open the door for perversion, for altering of humanity as far as male and female and marriage and so forth, then you put yourself up against, you know, God. So how can we see leaders that do this, that defy the will of God, the word of God, the order of God, and then have anyone turn around and say, you know, bless us? God doesn't bless your defiance. God doesn't bless your arrogance. God doesn't bless your pride. God doesn't bless your wickedness. God doesn't bless baby killing. God doesn't bless the transmuting and altering of human sexuality, of the male and the female, as God created us originally to bear his image. Right? Am I right tonight? Well, regime change is what it's all about going on. You know, that's what's going on behind the scenes. And that's what we need to understand when we're seeing all the other things occurring on the surface. Now, Navy SEALs, 30 dead, the helicopter goes down. And now all of the questions are coming out. Was it really the normal helicopter that Navy SEALs use? Was it something plotted? Was it something planned? Are they just what we need to really, really listen to the stories coming out right now. Because one of those Navy SEAL teams was the one that was supposed to have gotten Osama bin Laden. And so we need to look at this. Let me say one thing, that if it had anything to do with betrayal, treason is a word that comes to my mind. It really is. And I think that soldiers have been betrayed before by others up the line, and I think that's treason. So let's just keep an eye on what's happening concerning the SEALs. Don't forget, Middle East is a end times hot spot of violence and never-ending war. Not until the Prince of Peace. Now, you can read about it in the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago. You know, God very clearly unveils that war and the violence will continue all the way to the end. In the Middle East, well, that is the hot spot. Here locally, I used to live in the Copley area, Jacoby Road. Used to engage with our teams looking at ritual sites, following up on rituals that were going on, satanic stuff going on in that area. Actually helping a victim to get out of the area a number of times, calling on law enforcement in that area a number of times. But we had to interact because of the danger and things that were going on, the abduction. Well, here in our area, a shooter comes out. Now, we've talked about the Oslo, Norway shooting and the VTEC shooter. And across the board, the Finland shooter, Columbine, all of these different ones in Pennsylvania, etc. But now there's a Copley shooting. I'm listening to local news today, and they're saying that... this is what they're saying. There's no drugs involved. This had nothing to do with that kind of stuff. And bottom line, you know what they said? That law enforcement does not know the motive of why this man went on a shooting rampage, and it didn't end until law enforcement shot him, killed him, and brought him down. So right here, just about 20 minutes from where I live, here we've got this going on right now. We have a shooter and a shooting, and including, I think it's a 16, 17-year-old girl shot dead. Once again, it's like that indiscriminate shoot everybody, regardless of age, regardless of anything. And we're going to take a look into this 20 minutes away from this home where I'm speaking from right now. In the U.S., I already mentioned it, the double-A status, crazy. Riots in the U.K. going on overnight again. And, well, you take a look at it yourself, the world that we live in. A lot of betrayal, a lot of treason, a lot of conspiracy, a lot of things that we need to look at, you know, false flag, things like that. So we need the discernment. We need the hand of God. We really do. So I want to ask you right now, as you're looking at all of this, I'm going to tell you that the knowledge of prophetic biblical revelation exceeds everything I know and gives great insight and opens our heart and eyes and mind to what really is coming and the reasons why. The reasons why we see so much of it go on. It's one thing to report it, to be outraged, to see things. It's another thing to see a larger agenda. And that's what we're talking about tonight, a larger agenda. Let me say one more thing. We're going to be on live radio with Dr. Stan Monteith on the 10th, 11th, and 18th of August. We'll post those on the website. If you're brand new to this show live, this is Russ Dizdar. The website, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. From there, you can get to all of our stuff, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of downloads of training, seminars, courses, materials it looks like in the last 2.5 years, 3 million downloads of these have gone out over 90 countries of the world. So we're going to say welcome to all of the satellite listeners right now. God's blessing to you. All those listening by internet radio, all those downloading from the archives, we again say blessings to you. We need the hand of God. We need the grace of God. We need the power of God. We need the help of God. If everything the scripture tells us is the dark side's confusing, deceiving, masqueraded as an angelic, you know, I mean, masqueraded is one thing, but lethally something else. If the Bible predicts that we're going to have the broadest deception in human history that leads to the broadest destruction of humanity, then I think we should lift up our ears, take notice, turn all the riffraff and all the other noise out for a little bit, and we need to hear that God loves humanity. God gives the heads up. God gives the warning. And maybe today, if you don't know the living God on a personal basis, he seeks you right now. And I'm going to say that's what this broadcast is all about. It is literally a missions endeavor. Simply saying that God is awesome. God loves you personally. And that Jesus Christ, no one else but Jesus, died on that cross. No one else said what he said. No one else did what he did. No one else lived like he lived. No one else conquered sin, death, the devil, hell, all of it. Because he loves you, wants you. Nobody wants you more. If you don't know him today, you can come to know Christ. In that moment of his spirit coming into your life, you're born directly into relationship with God, given the gift, well, the power to live the life, and then the gift of eternal life. No question about it, going to see God face to face someday. But here in the midst of things, and before it all comes down, I want you to hear me. There is a dark side. There is another presence in the world operative. I think the world knows that feeling in the air, that sense, that ominous sense. I think we understand the rise of dark spirits, possession, and supernatural engagement all around the world. Now, a lot of it, again, is just sheer masqueraded, but a lot of it is just raw blood and guts satanic stuff. If you are a listener to this broadcast, you know that on the website we have it looks like about a 19-minute overview of this entire week. There's a audio broadcast there. You want to listen to it. There's also the PDF file, the broadcast quick notes, and we are on just simply the second page. There's the overview page, but we're on the second page dealing with Monday night. Now, I want to say again, for you to really embed 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it speaks about a secret power of lawlessness, or the mystery of iniquity. It's the mysterium in the Greek. This mystery that's operative, it's a mystery in the sense, hidden to the collective mindset of the world. It's meant to be a supernaturally hidden, secretive, operating presence. Now, if you understand, again, even the phrase, as we read it, the secret power or the mystery of this lawlessness, this iniquity, there's a little word there where it says already at work. And that word is the word that means it's used of God in reference to his working in the life of the believer. Supernatural operating presence. But the dark side operates in a supernatural dark operating presence. So if you've got the notes, we've got A, B, and C tonight. A, it's a long dark plot. And I'm emphasizing this tonight. When we lay the foundation for this week, this is the laying of the foundation. There is no rise of a new order without its preexistence. Now, I really want you to think that through, mark it down, you know, put it on a piece of paper, then tape it to your computer for a while or something. There is no rise of a new order without its preexistence. That's true of mutiny on a pirate ship. That's true of any city, old ancient polis, city, Greek city. That's true of nation changing in the history of nations and regime change across the board. You know, 500 years ago, there was no United States of America. And so in the development of nations, there's also been this massive history of existing nation states, big and small, where a group is dissatisfied. A group has a different policy, a different government, a different disposition, or a group that wants freedom from tyranny. Or there then becomes this plot to bring down the existing regime, with the goal of replacing it with another. And that's part of the biblical revelation of the satanic sequential evolutionary development of a pre-existent. I mean, it must be absolutely in place, multinational, multicontinental, you know, across the board, before it could ever rise to power as quickly as it's going to do when we look at it in the scripture. So point A, it's a long, dark plot. And I take you back to PS2. PS2, Psalm chapter 2. In this 3,000-year-old declaration of the end of days, when God brings warning, he's already bringing warning out to globalists and globalism, to the very end of days, to those involved and engaged as they move towards the development, the evolutionary development that will eventually be Armageddon. So let me say very clearly tonight that three things under this long, dark plot. There is a dark side, Dorothy. It's not flesh and blood, not by human hands. Believers need to understand this in our personal lives, and you know what it is to engage even on a personal level. What about national? What about global? Revelation 12 shows us the ancient serpent, devil, Diablos, and the adversary, the slanderer is there, the dragon. This, you know, God paints a big picture of a global manifesting presence called huge, the Megos dragon, who seeks to lead the whole world astray. Do you see that in that verse? It's in Revelation 12. In this picture of the past, what his presence did when Jesus came the first time, his opposing presence against the body of Christ, his opposing presence against Israel, based on what's going to happen prophetically in Israel and where Christ is coming. But there's no question of the insatiable lust to dethrone God, get rid of God in a sense, and to replace. Did you understand Ezekiel 28 to be the whole rebellion, the whole insurrection, when it came to the once anointed cherub, the once, you know, guardian cherub? You know what? It was all about regime change. It wasn't about just getting rid of God. It was about replacing God, and has been ever since that moment. Has been ever since the engagement with humanity. And if you don't understand the broader picture of spiritual warfare and the progressive agenda that biblical prophecy says they make it when they finally get to Armageddon, we'll talk about that. Revelation 12 just simply reveals that it is a global scheme, a global agenda, and that behind that agenda is this fallen cherub. And he is painted there in Revelation 12 as this Megos, this huge, enormous red dragon. That's the prophetic, pictorial revelation of that dark presence. So I'm going to say that God is trying to clearly define how huge, in the end of days, the manifesting presence and agenda and insatiable drive the dark side has. As a matter of fact, God even unveils that Satan himself knows that his time is short and he's furious. There is we say it in point two, there's a real mind behind the scenes, a scheme going on. It involves, you know, the target, political, governmental, obviously, military, obviously, two areas that must be taken. and, well, a spiritual system, a counterfeit coming, developing. But you've got to understand that mind behind the scenes. You've got to understand that presence that's breathing down the necks of politicians, of political leaders, of meeting places. That presence breathing down the necks of military weapons development specialists, especially those getting ideas popping into their heads about planetary defense weapon systems, hold, that may be used, hold, at Armageddon, hold, to be raised into the air, hold, to be aimed at the descent of the living Christ. I'm going to tell you whether you or I know Satan's agenda very well, whether you or anyone else believes anything about it. I mean, angry, screaming, Richard Dawkins type atheists scream a lot, but they have no answers. Now, it looks like Stephen Hawking is sealing his fate, coming out even broader to declare no God, no heaven, nothing else. And kind of a self-declaration, if not others, that he's the smartest man on the earth. Is that who you want to follow? Now, I don't mean any disrespect when I say this next thing. Is he smart enough to get himself out of the chair? If we're talking about the most brilliant man in history or living today, how is that brilliance applied other than the end of his life, the end of his brilliance is his declaration that he doesn't believe there's a God, doesn't believe there's a heaven, believes it's all a fairy tale. And what does he have left? It's amazing to me. It really is. I was listening to a guy last night. I'm gonna actually look him up and engage on Coast to Coast late. I was listening to him, you know, decrying the God part of the brain and his constant discussion about the God part of the brain. But there is no God. And he just seems defiant about it, angry about it, and very much like Richard Dawkins, very much like Stephen Hawking. And then again, the declaration, but then more questions than they have answers. It really seems like these guys that are considered the most brilliant intellectuals and their defiance about no God, and yet it's very clear that they're skimming the surface of knowledge, and they have created more questions than they have answers for. If they're so smart, where's the answers? Let me say it again. If they are so smart, where are the definitive answers? Sitting empty in those chairs. All the while, creation screams, God is here. And all the while, the Spirit of God speaks. God loves you and calls you to Christ on the cross. I'd like to understand what Stephen Hawking's answer is, Jesus on the cross. Point three tonight under A Long Dark Plot. There is no rise of a new order, I want to keep saying this tonight, without its preexistence. And so there's real nuts and bolts. You cannot have on a pirate ship a mutiny without some guys getting together, argarg, you know, discussing down there in the, you know, bowels of the ship or wherever they're discussing it, you know, secretly passing their notes, getting ready for the day that they're going to do the mutiny and throw the captain overboard and everybody else and take over the ship. You know what that is? That's simply regime change. It's mutiny. And there's nuts and bolts. There's those that oppose the current regime. They've got a new idea, a new thing they want, whether it's communism coming into an area, whether it's capitalism, you know, the West coming into an area, you know, whether it, the issue, again, is the idea of not just annihilating a regime and leaving everything blank. And you and I've got to understand, it's not about Satan wanting to destroy the world. It's not that at all. That's not how it pans out in all of biblical prophetic revelation. It's about building a regime, a system under supranatural mysterium, deep, dark, supernatural secrecy. You know, radar can't penetrate it. The best of the best in military can't penetrate it. This is where we read about the God of this age blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see. You've got to understand Jesus' revelation in the parable of the wheat and the tares. You've got to understand that as he comes to do the agenda, he reveals instantly that the counterfeiter comes, and during the night, in the darkness of night, in the secrecy, he begins to, well, kind of do the same thing, but he's creating tares. He's creating his agenda, his followers, and this will have a culmination. And we're headed towards that now. The train that you and I, politically, worldwide, the society worldwide on this train, the military, all that's on the train right now, with all its bumps and bruises, it's all headed for a dead end. It's not going to last. There is a dark side that is so lethal and without mercy as it seeks to embed and build a multinational, multi-continental regime that will be in place before it ever rises to power. And that Revelation 13, where it rises on a bono, I mean, it literally does it so quick, so powerful, so loud, like the leopard, like the bear, like the lion. So quick, so powerful, and so loud. It's astounding. It really is. But it's not by human hands. I mean, that's the book of Daniel, this whole rise of the Antichrist, everything about it. There is no rise of the Antichrist without the inseparable link to the pre-existent Luciferic New World Order. There just is not. So if you believe the Antichrist is out there and that he's going to come to power in the next 5-10 years, then the political, military, economic machine system beyond Roman Empire, beyond the Greek, beyond the Mede-Persian, beyond the Babylonian, the most consuming political, economic, military, governing system the world has ever known. But from conception, development to its very end, it is done by the sheer manifesting power of the dark side. And a matter of fact, in Daniel, it's prophesied this little horn, this supernatural, transmuted, you know, Satan in human flesh, homo satanus. He and the whole system cannot, will not come down by human endeavor, by human hands, by human power. That's the prophecy out of Daniel 2,600 years ago. Now, point B on the notes tonight, this plot is revealed and seeable. Did you know that? It is revealed and it is seeable. And I want you to know that there are cultists, there are people in mystery school stuff, there are New Agers, there are book authors, there are documentary filmmakers, there are many around the world that feel something ominous is coming. The technology of Webbot and all the rest. So there's a kind of collective worldwide that as they research, as they look, well, they feel. And I think 2012, all the junk coming out and all the stuff coming out, it's simply going to layer this and bring in even more confusion and embed the lie deeper in human collective consciousness. Embed the lie deeper in collective human consciousness. As if there's a global mind, a global brain. Prince, you know what it is? You know what it is? Hold. Ephesians 2, Archon, a prince, a ruler, a presence. There is a prince of the domain of the Eros on a global scale who's now supernaturally operative and at work in politicians, in the economic elite, wicked elite, in military minds and hearts, in the real sense, the plotting, but on a global scale, on the most ominous, lethal, wicked, we just can't conceive the deceit that is growing and that will, you know, explode out in the world like a Hoover Dam breaking. It corresponds to the coming billions that will lose their lives, to the coming destruction of the environment. That dark presence will bring in the greatest destruction to humanity, to the nations, to the earth, and the sky, to the point of annihilation. The plot is revealed and seeable. 10 points real quick here on the notes. Number one, the shadows have been revealed. Now, everybody's talking about shadow government, shadow military. Oh, the shadow in the military, they're there. The shadows in the among the politicians, shadow government, shadow world elite system, Bilderberger, Trilateral, Club Rome, 300, on and on and on and on. But I think all we're doing is seeing 5%, the 95% that we don't see. And the deeper you go down that stairway of 95%, the darker, the hotter than hell it truly gets. The more vile, there's no mercy there. There's no concept of mercy there. In the shadows. Well, they've been revealed. Now, human intelligence can't touch this. Stephen Hawking can't touch this. Richard Dawkins can't touch this. Ray Kurzweil can't touch this. In the shadows, the revelation. I mean, they've been revealed. So what you feel, what you think you know, and what others have been talking about, even Webbot, by the way, the shadows, they're all scratching at the shadows. Number two, listen, the revelation of this comes solely from omnipresence and omniscience. The revelation of what's really there in the shadows. Now, we've been out in some backwooded areas hunting down ritual crime. We've been in some places where you're looking in the shadow. You ever been where you're driving through the fog late at night, 2, 3 in the morning, back in the wooded areas? The fog is so thick, so dense, you've got to stop your car because you have no idea whether you're going to run into a tree or not. Or an animal, or a person. See, the spiritual fog is so thick, supernaturally so thick. The God of this age that has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Well, I'm going to say again, the world on a natural scale cannot scratch the surface of the shadows. But point two, the revelation comes solely from omnipresence and omniscience. That's God, and that's God alone. And omnipotence, by the way, and as I say, omni-relational. You know, God's revealing this as a heads up, a warning. God uses prophetic revelation. God, sees what's going on, and God wants to give the heads up. You know, around the bend, the bridge is out for humanity. Around the bridge right now, for you listening, it may be the bridge is out, hell below. What are you going to do? Satan's not going to put a sign up. There's nobody there from Satan's camp to put a sign up and say, stop, you're on your way to hell. But the Word of God does, the Spirit of God does, summoning and calling and seeking, using this moment in time, a providential hour, a providential minute, a providential second, to say, stop, look at Christ, listen to the words of Jesus, hear the impact of His death, His blood, His resurrection. The angels know that He's God in human flesh. The demons know that He's the Savior, that He holds all authority, that He is God. The prophets knew, the apostles knew, all of Scripture testifies. What about you? I'm going to tell you right now that no matter where I research, and I research a lot of things, we go a lot of places. That's right. We're going to be on some REAP trips in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Victoria, British Columbia coming up. We're going to be, and we've been given the invitation to come to New York City at the Marriott downtown. We're going to be speaking there on deliverance and all of what we talk about here. September 24th, a little over a month away. That's right. We're going to be up to New York City at the conference of the Marriott. Richard Keltner's invited us to come, and we're going. And we're going. And we're going to see and pray our spiritual guts out for God to do what he wills. I hope that you're going to be a part of it, even if it's massive prayer. By the way, Josiah Project, take a look at the website. Continue as we prepare for the 15th of this month to unleash prayer for exposure of this radical shadows, in the shadows, this secret power of lawlessness, impenetrable by the human mind, but not by the mind and heart and life and eyes of God. As we've read, I'll do it again for the sake of the Satanists, the reconnaissance agents, the Luciferian that listens. I will do this again out of the book of Hebrews. It says, nothing in all creation. Let me say it again. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. The Greek word naked before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God knows, God sees the filth, the destruction, the crime, the blood on your hands. Bohemian Grove. Mother of Darkness Castle, Belgium. On and on. In this moment, mercy triumphs over judgment. In this moment, grace abounds over sin. And God, because of his love, because of the power, the sheer, broad work of Christ. You listening right now, he'll forgive you. You must repent. You must turn to the living Christ. If not, if you stay on your sin, if you stay with the sin code, if you stay with the death code, if you stay linked to the fallen cherub himself, well, then you get him for eternity. Shut out from the presence of God. Can I give you a verse? Can I give you a word? How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? You ever read it? Point number three, that revelation is progressive and complete. And God has given insight from the Old Testament and continues to add to it. And that's why I'm saying if you read the book of Daniel, if you read Jesus, especially in Matthew 24, if you read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 John, the book of Revelation, you're going to see that God keeps painting the picture. Not only what he does, what he's going to do, his coming, the Prince of Peace, the end of war, eternal life, seeing God face to face, but he's telling us the dark side. Well, the infiltration, when does it begin? It begins in the beginning of humanity. We sinned, we screwed up, we messed up, we spit in the face of God, and we embraced the liar, and the doors were open. He has legal rights. Only Christ comes and conquers those rights. He holds the keys, right? In Christ, if you're a believer, set free, authority of Jesus, protection. And now it's the job of knowing what we need to know, growing as strong as we can, becoming most powerful in prayer, and a great soul winner to the very end. Nothing is broader on the agenda of God than the salvation of lives. That's why I'm saying, regardless of you, the listener's background, how deep, wide your sin is, the blood of Jesus is bigger, broader. Christ, bigger, broader. The cross, bigger, broader. To totally take away your filth, your sin, your shame. To remove, make you as white as wool in the sight of God. What are you going to do? Stay there in your sin or turn to the living Christ? Point three, the revelation of God is progressive and it's complete. It's complete. In an age when Satan's trying to give counterfeit, claiming that it's new revelation and new insight from God that runs contrary to the written, revealed words of the Holy Spirit himself. It's a lie, obviously. Leads people off the track, obviously. Point four, that revelation of God, the Word of God, is detailed and specific about the end of days. It talks about the Antichrist's face. It talks about his mouth. It talks about his rise in the political system and his takeover. It talked about Judas, 30 pieces of silver. It talks about, in Revelation 12, Satan's knowledge that his personal time, as a finite being, his personal time is short. He's furious. He's going crazy. God speaks, and the revealed scripture, detailed and specific. Point number five, the revelation has historically never failed. The ancient prophets, guided by the Spirit of God, predicting 1,000 years in advance the resurrection of Christ. Psalm 16, the resurrection occurred. 700 years in advance, the virgin that will be a child, the Prince of Peace that's going to be born, God in human flesh, Emmanuel, it all occurred. I mean, the scripture in the Old Testament, by the Spirit of God, even told about Judas, even told about the 30 pieces of silver, even told, well, again, it's it historically has never failed. Point six, that revelation is broad and enables clear sight. Let me just give you a scripture to look at. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Ancient prophets with tremendous determination, tremendous commitment. They were searching all the scriptures, led by the Spirit of Christ. That's right, in the Old Testament. Led by the Spirit of Christ, they wanted to see. They wanted to see about the times and the circumstances. They wanted to see what God was showing that was coming. You want to see? You want to have clear sight? Not all kinds of counterfeit mumbo jumbo. Not all kinds of crazy stuff that lead people off the tracks. Not somebody in the midst of the fog telling you, the bridge is not out, go ahead and drive right on over. And there you are, on your way to hell. In the handbag, so to say. Who are you listening to? Nostradamus? Has he led anyone to God? Edgar Cayce? Helena Blavatsky? The remote viewers? Has even one of them come to know God? Has one of them led anyone to personal relationship to Christ, to God? I'm not listening to Barack Obama. I don't believe him at all. I'm not listening to Albert Pike and the Masons, though they have 56,000 temples in the United States. They don't confess personal knowledge of God, walk with God, nor proclaim truth. Point six, that revelation, the Word of God, is broad and enables clear sight. Point seven, that revelation is unequaled and unprecedented. Did you know that? Take up the full counsel of God, the prophetic revelation of God, the specifics, infallible, detailed, accurate. Yeah, go ahead and match it to Gene Dixon. Match it to Sylvia Brown. Match it to Nostradamus. You know, put it up right beside. Let what the Holy Spirit says, because it's living words, let the Holy Spirit speak. And you're going to find unequaled, unprecedented, off the charts in its past to up to this date fulfillments and what's to come. Now let me say number eight, the revelation of God, the Word of God, the Bible, it brings the salvation, the message. It's all about, you know, you read the Gospel of John. You know why it's written? Read towards the end. This was written that you might believe, and that by believing you have eternal life. That's why the entire Gospel of John was written. You want to know what salvation is? You want to really, listen, if you're a seeker, if you're honest, do you really want to know? Then open up your heart to God. Get into the Gospel of John. Let it speak. May God destroy the work of the enemy in hindering anybody from coming to Christ tonight. The Word of God, faith comes from hearing it, reading it. It also is the Word of God that prepares and trains us and grows us as believers and brings protection, wisdom in the Proverbs, wisdom for daily living, for everything. But it gives the believer you such cutting edge, advanced insight that you should have such clarity about what's going on that you can use it redemptively to passionately, with deep love, share Christ with everyone. Bring the warning out, sure. Point 9, that revelation is cutting edge. It is more advanced, and I'm going to say it this way, more than anything existing. Remote viewers, you're wrong. You're connecting to the Akashic Records, the realm of the Archon, of Satan's presence, of deception, where they're able to metaskidzmatzatai. They are able to transfigure themselves, and they're able to look at you and perceive you and see what it is they need to do. Without the Spirit of God dwelling in you, without Christ's blood, power, and protection, you're no match for the deception you are engaged in right now. Number 10. Even the dark side knows the facts on biblical prophetic revelation. Revelation 12 talks about the dragon standing there waiting for the Christ child to be born. How did he know? Based on prophetic revelation. How did Satan quote the scripture, though twisting it, to Jesus in Matthew 24, or chapter 4? I'm going to tell you what, the dark side, the demons, Satan himself, knows the very word of God. Knows that it is the Word of God. Even if there's liberals listening and you faded away and you have nothing in your fingers, nothing in your mouth, nothing in your heart to share. Flowers in front of the pulpit and a lovely message about the Smurfs, as if that's going to get anybody saved. Is that how you're going to go down in history? Dead spiritually liberal with stained glass windows, flowers, but nothing to give the people. You got to get saved first. You got to know the living Christ. And once you do, and once you know his presence, and once you know his power, and once you know that he is so absolutely real in everything he says he is, you don't care about even getting out on the streets. Don't make any difference. You'll go to the bars, the highways, and the byways to tell anybody and everybody about Jesus. You don't need flowers. And you don't need the Smurfs. We got 6 minutes left tonight, and we got to go to point C. This plot has inception and stages. I'm going to touch on 5 of them. I left them blank for you to write it in. Here it is, number 1 out of the plot, out of the inception. I mean, there's no question, voice to skull, the mind of the Archon, the prince of the power of the air. His communication into, numerous levels, whether it's occult writings, whether it's into the new physics even. Number 1, out of revealing again the top 5 issues or stages of the satanic sequence, the evolutionary development, the agenda. Number one, his presence is here to bring total opposition to the body of Christ. Remember Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Remember the book of Acts 5, Ananias, Sapphira, Satan got in, wanted to bring corruption. Do you remember the book of Revelation where Satan's throne is? Or the other church where Satan wanted to throw someone into prison? What about Ephesians 6, spiritual warfare? When God, stop, hold, when God says your struggle, your battle, your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against, 5 times, against the Archai, against the Cosmocrator, against the Exousia, against the Porneus Pneumonikai. Four species or types of dark power operative in opposition to the real body of Christ. And they know whether you're born again or not. They have no question about that. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. They knew. But to the ones that didn't know Jesus, trying to use his name, but who are you? The echo of the demon speaking through that man, but who are you? And the demon through that man tore them all up. Number one, it's all about aggressive opposition to the collective body of Christ. That's why Jesus said in the beginning, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So stand up, believer. Stand in the mighty power of the living Christ. Know that you do have an enemy. Wipe off the blood. Wipe off the bruises. Stand in his presence. Seek his healing. Seek his grace. We have little time left to play around, to whine around. Look at the Savior that died on the cross. Forget the hypocrites. Leave them in the dust. It's time to look in the face of the Savior that died for you and be healed and strengthened and raised up and empowered and clothed and sent back out onto the field. Become more powerful than you've ever become. Point number two, Satan's alternative counterfeit to the real Christ, to the real Word of God, to the real works. That began all the way back in the early days. Nicolaitans, the Cerinthian Gnostics, the Docetic Gnostics, the book of 1 John, the book of Colossians. It's all written about the counterfeit that began to come about. And it had to be dealt with then. Jesus dealt with the seven churches in Revelation, warning the one that they tolerated the spiritual counterfeits of what is called Jezebel, or that practice of occult lying doctrine and occult perverted, you know, sexuality. You read about it, Jesus is going to take care of it, but he wants spiritual leaders to have the guts to do it. Point three, massive campaign for a counterfeit spiritual system. Babylon, anybody here? Babylon, Revelation 18, it layers the world in the end. Number four, the events that alter the world as we know it. The chaos that brings down everything. The instant apocalypse of the Antichrist, the rise of the system, the ascendancy of the false prophet, the wrath of Antichrist up in the middle of the Hathalipsis, Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation, killing of the witnesses of God, and then the opening of the abyss and all that goes with it, destruction. The fifth, culmination, the end game, Armageddon. Talk more about all this tomorrow night. Rust is dar, shadow the darkness dot. And hey, this week, remember us in prayer. We need it. Remember us in support. Thank you for it. Good night.